Good morning, church. Sorry to interrupt prayer, but we do need to continue on. I want to encourage you, fold this up, put it in your pocket, take it home. Put it by your bed, put it on your fridge, put it in your bathroom. While you're brushing your teeth, you can throw up a quick prayer for Paraguay. And starting next month, we will include Oaks ATL on this sheet, and it's a pleasure to be back engaging with them. And as was mentioned, on the 28th, which is the last Saturday in this month, we're going to be doing a work day with them. So if you know you want to be in that, put that on your calendar right now. There'll be more information about it to come, but hopefully it'll cool off a little bit by then. I won't be here. I'll be away on vacation, so I won't be able to join you, but I hope it's cool for you. We are going to finish up the book of Nehemiah today. Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, man, it's over, but it's like, oh, good, it's over. I've heard a lot of good things from people about how they've enjoyed this, and I think a lot of people have got a lot out of it with their journals, and so I hope you've all decided to get in on getting the 1 Timothy journal, and I think it's a great way to kind of just keep track of the whole thing, because I'm going to do this last passage here this morning, and we're going to focus on this, what's going on in that passage. But then I'm going to take us through a little bit of a review of the book overall. And my pastor's heart for all of us is that this book would really have an impact on our lives going forward, and that the lessons that we've seen week in and week out, that we could kind of put those together and say, this is the way we're going to live, that we would use these as tools for how we're going to be God's people. Because I really believe the book of Nehemiah, the purpose of it in Scripture, there's many, but the purpose of it in Scripture was to show God's people that they could be put back together and they could be a nation again and they could put God in the center of everything. Now, as we know, it doesn't always stay that way, and that's a great lesson for us. We can put God in the center, but we have to keep putting Him in the center because we keep moving away or we keep putting other things in the center. So it's an ongoing process. And today's message I've entitled Fighting for God's Ways, and that we're going to see Nehemiah in particular really go to war, so to speak, for God's ways and purposes and for godly culture. At the end of last week's message, this was the scripture that was on the very end of last week that Laban was preaching on. Now, do you don't have the last week's one? Did I send that? Well, anyway, don't worry about it. The last verse 14 says, "Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and do not wipe out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for His service." He was cleaning stuff up. The high priest had done something really nasty. But why does Nehemiah ask God not to wipe out what he did? Is he like self-promoting? Is he want to be like, you know, his name put on a building or something? I don't think so. I think what it is, it's that he was about God's place, about God's glory in the lives of God's people. And he wanted to make sure that their hearts stayed focused on God. It's just like at the beginning of the book, if you remember, what makes Nehemiah want to go back? It was his concern for God's people. So that's the beginning, and it's going all the way through this thread. And we're seeing all throughout the book these ways of God showing his people how to live. And so we've seen God reconstitute his people in this book. We've seen his place become renewed, Jerusalem. We've seen the temple be rebuilt. We've seen the wall be rebuilt and dedicated. And the people are one in repentance. Maybe, remember, they had that big service where they're all like just laying out their hearts and going, oh God, we repent, we repent. And they're like covenanting to live by the law of Moses at that time. And they're covenanting to walk that way. And everything is like, yes. That was the end of chapter 12. Now again, we saw what happened last week, is that things go awry very quickly. So in last week's passage, we heard that, you know, Nehemiah went back to visit the king back in Persia, and while he's gone, well, the high priest lets one of the enemies of God's people move into the temple. And not only does he move into the temple, which is a big deal, having an enemy of God in the temple, but he takes this function of the temple, the storage of stuff for the Levites, and he eliminates that. And so it not only corrupts the temple with the presence of one of God's enemies, but it disrupts the worship of God's people because the Levites, not having their provision, well, they all go back to their own towns. So what basically had happened is worship becomes disrupted. And it also becomes, not happening all the time. It's like if there happens to be a Levite, they'll do something. It's very messed up. It's hijacked for this guy to be able to live in there. Nehemiah throws them out and he restores the things of the temple and gets everything right. And so here's where we pick it up. He's done that. It's like some of his reforms. This chapter is entitled Nehemiah's Final Reforms. But then we're going to pick it up in verse 15. And this is where it's going to start. But let me pray before I open up the scripture. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, for your word. And Lord, we ask that you would just teach us by it, Lord. Break through our hearts into the hard places, Lord, and soften them by your spirit. And teach us how to live as your people, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So, starting in verse 15, chapter 13, this is what Nehemiah says. During this time, I saw in Judah some people who were treading wine presses on the Sabbath, also bringing in heaps of grain and loading donkeys with it. Likewise, wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads. And they were bringing them into Jerusalem on the day of the Sabbath. On the day when they were planning to sell the food, I warned them not to. There were also people living there from Tyre who brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the people. You marry someone who isn't a Christian, that's going to be a dilution of that kind of value, of that kind of worldview. And that other person will put in another kind of worldview. So it's important that as God's people, we continue to kind of fight for our culture to be biblical. And we fight for the principles that God has told us to live by. And if we have to, we'll pull somebody's hair out a little bit. I mean, I'm not opposed to that. I'm trying to think of, there's a couple of people that I could probably get a handful on, but there's a couple of people here that I couldn't get at. I don't think Thomas, I'd get a hold of any of that, man. Last one. Values and culture that dishonor Christ are to be confronted and fought against. That's what we see Nehemiah here doing. He's not passive. He's not like, oh, man, they're bringing stuff in on the Sabbath. I should see if I could do something about that. I should see if I could talk to this guy or something. No, he's like, I'm going to go talk to all these people, and then I'm going to actually take charge of it. And when he comes against all these guys who have been doing exactly what God says not to, he doesn't be like, oh, you guys shouldn't do that. He gets serious with them. He gets a little primeval almost a little bit. But it's for God's glory. His zeal was like Christ clearing the temple. His zeal is for God's glory, for God's place, for God's people. That's what he's fighting against. And we do well to fight against those things as well. We can't sit by and just let culture change in our midst. Out there, whatever the rest of the world wants to do, that's fine. We can't control that, but we can control what we do as a body, as a church. And that is that we're going to live in biblical ways. That's what we're going to do because this is another book in the Bible that's telling us to. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them throughout the whole scriptures talking to us about how we are to live. How we are to live. So having studied the book of Nehemiah, how are we going to live? This is a little bit of summary I've got for you for the entire book that hopefully kind of synopsizes the big lessons that we saw in the book of Nehemiah. So the first six, living by prayer. Praying as God's word directs, praying for God's glory. At the beginning, how Nehemiah is praying for God's people. You see throughout the prayers in this book are focused on God's word and God's will and his heart. We live by going. It talks about how these people had kingdom purpose and focus and relocated for things. And even, you know, the big group that came over from Susa with Nehemiah, but there'd been a group that came earlier with Jerezebel. I think that's how you say his name. But then there's people just relocating inside the region and stuff for God's purposes. Might you be open to go because God has directed you to? But then there's the idea of living by working. It's like wherever he's put you, we're to work. We're to do. We're to grow where we're planted. Have you ever heard that? You ever heard grow where you're planted? I got a hard word for all of you. You're here. This is where you've been planted. I don't care where you think you're going. This is where you are, right? So what are you doing? Are you thinking about what you're going to do at the next place you go? Or are you getting a business here? God calls us to work here. You saw all those people who lived along that wall, and they didn't go thinking about, well, hopefully somebody builds this wall. No, they got in there, right there where they lived, and worked where they lived. And then we live by caring, right? Treating people based on God's standards. You see Nehemiah, when people are being treated wrong, he jumps up, and he says, no, that's not how we're going to do things. We're going to treat people the way God says we're going to treat people. That's what God's people do. They were oppressing the poor, and they were doing selling people into slavery and such. And Nehemiah put a stop to that. Next up, sometimes we live by warring. Remember when they were building the wall, that they not only were doing construction, but they donned military gear and had weapons with them, and they were on the lookout, and they kind of formed into a military organization where they were building, but at the same time, they were in military readiness. We need to fight for God's principles and purposes and be ready to fight. Now, they didn't have to fight, luckily, but that's one of the ways you keep from having to fight is be ready to fight. Your enemies notice it. They don't attack you. Last on this slide is living by God's word. We see this over and over again in this book, right? There's a commitment to reading and applying scripture. And you know, when Nehemiah is telling these guys in this last passage about the stuff that they're doing wrong, what does he do? He goes to scripture and gives them examples of what had happened in the past and such. So then the next six, living by repenting. Remember when they came together and they had that big ceremony? That's a great thing to do, that we would be a repentant people. That God's people are a people who are aware of their sin, and it's before them, and we deal with it. Next up, living by worshiping. They went right from that place of just solemn repentance to a place of joyous praise and worship. When they dedicate the wall, all the singers all over the wall, and they're singing back and forth, is a really cool situation. And it's about worshiping as a lifestyle and giving thanks and praise and glory to God with everything we do. And then there's the idea of living for community, the financial, emotional, and spiritual faith family that you have as a follower of Christ. They do it around the temple, and we see the things going around the temple with people giving to the temple and people serving at the temple and everything. It's the same thing that we now have here with our body of Christ in this church, that we live for community. And I put a double in here. I think you might be thinking, oh, hey, Todd, you already said that, living by God's word. I wanted to put it in there again because it just seems like it's so persistent in this book over and over again. We keep thinking and being brought back to God's word. And that's a huge thing for us. And then sometimes when you're going to live by God's word, you're going to have to realign your life in serious, meaningful ways. Like these men who had to send away their wives who they'd married, who were people that they were told not to marry. Remember at the beginning of chapter 13. And then living for God's honor. And this is what we saw in this passage today. Was this idea of protecting the culture and lifestyle that honors Christ and being willing to go to the wall for it, that it's important enough that we'll fight for it, that we won't be passive. And then last but not least, what I think this book is also about in a big way is about living by renewal, that our relationship with God as individuals and as a community is something that needs to constantly be renewed and that we have to keep building and rebuilding our walk with Christ. This book is all about God's people being reconstituted, but they've already been reconstituted a couple times, and they will be reconstituted again. And there's been revivals that happen and such. That's the way of the world, that we can't just have our faith and be here. We have to constantly reconstruct it, rebuild it, renew it, and reinvest in it so that we can stay in that place where we're walking in obedience. So that's the whole book of Nehemiah in a nutshell, so to speak. And again, I hope you got a lot out of it. I hope you stay with your journal and keep reading that over and sharing with friends, hey, this thing hit me, this thing hit me. This will all be up on the website so you can come back and take a look at these kind of overview things. But that's pretty much it. And we're going to begin next week with 1 Timothy. So we're moving on. But I hope that, again, Nehemiah has been great for you. I hope you've gotten a lot out of it. I hope you continue to get a lot out of it. At this time, Laban is going to come and share about communion with us.